Welcome to Tips from the Server Room. This podcast is designed for all you systems admins, network specialists, or the guys and gals out there in the office who handles it all. Sit back, relax, grab a beverage, and enjoy Tips from the Server Room. Yes, welcome back, everybody, once again for another Tips from the Server Room. This is episode number 6 for May 15th, 2013, for those who are counting out there and keeping track of the podcast. Well, very good, and now you have an episode and a date. I'd like to thank you for checking out this podcast. If you've never been here before, this is Tips from the Server Room, where we talk about all kinds of stuff for tech admins, system admins, or just the folks out there that are filling a role that, you know, are learning as they go. And that's okay, because every one of us came from somewhere. So not a problem. So you're definitely welcome here. Please subscribe to the shows, as well as please download the shows. Also, just as a tip there, and we are going to get into this in just a little bit here, I want you to definitely, I want you to remember this website, tipsfromtheserverroom.net, tipsfromtheserverroom.net. And the reason I say that this evening is because I have a little treat coming up for you there, a little new switch on this show that not a lot of other people are doing. And I thought, I'm going to try it and see what happens, see if we can get some of you folks listening to this podcast in your cars to go to work and say, you know, I'm going to pull up that website and have a look at this stuff. So, and with that said, though, we're going to get started here, and we're going to get moving. Tonight on this particular show, we're going to be talking about switches versus hubs. We're going to be talking about the fiber optics versus Cat 5 versus Cat 6 cables. And we're going to talk about that stuff just very openly. We're also going to be talking about managed and unmanaged switches. And then for a special treat there, we're going to just do a little bit of stuff here, and I'm going to show you a little bit of wiring racks, and I'll get into how I'm going to show you that in just a few minutes. So first of all, let's start off by talking about switches and hubs, why they're so different, and why, you know, we really are starting to get away from one technology and we're leaning towards the other. Now, these different technologies are basically switches and hubs. Now, a switch in the server rack is going to be, and I ask many people this question when I interview them, what's the difference between a switch and a hub? And these are the kind of answers that I always get. One is, one of them costs more, and that is very much the truth. One is, one has more prettier lights than the other. That wasn't too much of the truth. One is smart and one is dumb. Well, that's interesting, and that's a different way to look at things, I guess. It's kind of a half-truth, but it's not the exact way that we should be talking about switches and hubs. The truth is when you have a hub, you have, let's say you have a, we're going to keep it simple, let's say we have a 10-port hub. If we have a 10-port hub and we introduce it with 100-megabyte circuit, so let's say we have 100 megs going into our 10-port hub. So out of that 10 ports, what's going to happen is that 10 will be divided by 100. What that's going to do is give us about 10 megs per port. And that's how it would work. So if you have 24 ports, you're going to have, hence, you'll have less bandwidth per port. If you have 48 ports, 96 ports, and so forth, you keep dropping that bandwidth because you're dividing that out amongst all the ports. And that is probably why the actual hub is actually just a little cheaper than actually, buying the switch. Because now when we're talking about a switch, we're talking about an intelligent piece of gear. Now, it's intelligent because each port operates on its own bus. So the circuitry is in the switch to operate. So in other words, if we introduce 100 meg to a 24-port switch, every port on that switch will be 100 megabytes. And the same as if it's 24-port, 48, 96, I don't care, whatever it is. So what would happen is each port of a 24-port switch, if you have a 1 gig circuit coming in If it's a 10, 100, 1 gig, now some of them are not. But if it's 10, 100, 1 gig, then each port would be 1 gig. As well as if you introduce, if you bring in a fiber line to a 10, 100 switch, guess what you get at each port? You get 100 megabytes because that's what you paid for and that's what you get. Now we're going to talk about two different standards. One standard is a managed port and the other standard is an unmanaged switch. Let's say managed and unmanaged switch, not a port. The difference there is, and we spent some time today, and I'm going to talk about this in just a minute, but a managed is where you give each individual switch an IP address. That allows you to log into that, usually via a web page, and they make it very easy. And we've even found in the past when we use 3Com gear that we could stack them and load a bunch of different IPs on one page and have a bunch of different switches and a lot of different views of each switch in your network. Now, why is this important? The base reason is if you're losing something, let's say you have a computer on your network. That computer seems to fall off the network every day at 1 o'clock for some strange reason. We don't know why. What we can do is we can actually go, we can remote into that switch via a web page, and we can just watch the particular port that the computer is plugged into. And what you're looking for, there's any abnormal type of traffic or any kind of drop packets, and then you can kind of decide where that's actually coming from. Another thing we can do is if it's the whole switch, if the whole switch is giving you issues, you can actually go into the managed side and you can say we're going to mirror one port. Now, when you mirror a port, what happens with that one port is you will plug a packet capture device in, which is just a computer with some kind of software under to capture packets. And at that point, you would capture the packets coming across all the ports. Now, you're going to generate a lot of traffic as far as what you're seeing and what you're actually looking at. But it is well worth the traffic to generate because you're going to be able to determine what port's having trouble, or you'll be able to determine at least what packet's coming through there to shut that particular computer down at that time, or the whole entire switch, whatever is the case. Now, an unmanaged switch, we do also have unmanaged switches because, let's face it, folks, they are a little cheaper, and they're also very important to have the unmanaged as well as the managed. And I'm going to tell you how we have those set up. The way we have these things set up is we put a managed switch in every closet. Now, what we do with that is we have at least one place that we know we can go into, we can remote into that one switch, and we at least have access to the port that's connecting the second, third, or fourth switch, because you use the managed switch to feed all your other switches, whatever you might have in that closet. Now, we further broke ours down in our closets, and I don't know how many hubs and switches you may have, but what we did was we broke ours down even more where we actually have two fiber runs per each closet with the high data traffic areas. Not all, but most of the ones with the high data traffic and with a lot of workstations. We put two fiber runs in, so we have two managed switches, and then we broke down into three unmanaged switches. And this just, again, it keeps the racks more cost efficient. And if a unmanaged switch pops or something goes wrong with it, you can pull it, throw another one in, you're good to go. Managed switches, you have to, you know, reevaluate it. You have to give the IP address to it again. You have to get it back in the rack, which we did one today. Not a big deal, but it is something to think about that you have to actually change that out and be able to change it and give it an IP address. Okay, folks, before we get into this last little portion here that I want to talk about today on Tips from the Server Room, I'm going to go ahead and play you my little ad spot here because if you're a systems administrator, you might want to hear this. So let's go ahead and take a break. Are you a systems administrator? Are you looking to learn something more about Windows Server 2008 R2 or Windows Server 2012 or even VMware ESXi Server 5? Then you want to check out my online classes at classroom.jackstechcorner.com. This is where you're going to learn great, great information about those products. And once you're finished taking the course, you will earn a certificate. Once again, that's classroom.jackstechcorner.com. Or if you're trying to learn more about photography and you have that photography bug in your body and you want to get out there and start shooting more with your camera, then please check out my new website, jtclearning.com, where you sign up to be a member of the site, and as I add new content, it will be available to you forever as long as you're a member. So I'd like to thank you for listening to this show, and please check out all my shows here on Spreaker.com, as well as YouTube. I can be found at 42 Technoman, number 42 Technoman. Thanks, and let's get back on to the show. Okay, and I also wanted to throw it out there to you folks, if you're not on those online classes already, that I've had some very, very satisfied customers. Everybody that's taken the class has been satisfied, and also you do earn a certificate, and I think that is in that ad spot, that you earn a certificate once you complete the course. So it's just very simple courses, as far as it's easy to understand. You watch a video, and you take a quiz. You watch a video and take a quiz, and you just move on through there, so very, very worthwhile. What we're going to do now is, if you're listening to this on iTunes, which I imagine you probably are, I don't know if you come to the website to listen to this or not. If you did, then you already see what I'm going to talk about. And what I'm going to tell you about now is, I put some pictures up, and we're going to go over these pictures, and I'm going to tell you about these wiring closets that's in our racks. Now, don't get scared away. Some of these are quite the mess, and we have been reconsolidating, and we're rebuilding right now to clean our network up. So anything's possible out there when you guys start working on your closets. And you know yourself that I tell everybody that my network is a living and breathing thing. Data traffic travels all day, every day. All this gear communicates with each other. So it's a living, breathing thing. And as we need to add new things, we just plug it up and we move on. So that's the whole idea. But sometimes you got to stop and reevaluate what you're doing and redo your racks. I mean, that's very important. On the first, very first picture there that you're looking at, if you go to my website, tipsfromtheserverroom.com, the very first picture you're going to see is you're going to see a managed switch. And I have the console cable in, and that's the new switch we replaced today. I was actually going through the console port to actually get into there to change the IP address to our IP scheme. Most of these devices, at least the ones we've been working with lately, have been coming with an IP address, of an internal IP, like a 169.something address. And it's better if you console port in, but it's getting harder and harder to find a laptop with a serial port. So what I did, and I don't have a picture of it here. Well, maybe I do. Yeah, I do have a picture of it. The very next picture here we have, look at that picture, and that is a USB to serial adapter. Now, I did find a driver for the Mac, and I didn't try to install that. We did try to install the driver for this particular device on a Windows XP machine. It did not work. The serial to USB adapter did work on Windows 7, and it set itself right up. The next rack I'm going to show you here is a rack where we have a fiber switch coming in. And from that fiber switch, we have it broke out to, it looks like, four actual unmanaged switches. So the first switch you're going to see in this rack is managed, and the rest of them are unmanaged switches. Now let me see where we'll take you to next here. I don't want to go through all of these. We can go through this one. Let's see, right here next. This particular one here, the black background there, you see the black rack. This is in one of our computer labs. And what you see here is, on the top is the patch panel, where all the ports are coming in from the wall jacks. The first switcher at the topper, that is a new HP switch who bought out 3Com. So everything now is changing over to HP. And it is a fiber switch, and it is also a managed switch. So that's a managed switch. And right below that, we have a managed switch working as a unmanaged device. So you can give it an IP address, and it could be managed, but you don't have to manage that particular switch. It just happens to be in the rack. The next rack we have to show you is actually a small wall unit. I would suggest if you're mounting your switches in a room where any people are going to be at any given time, you should put up a locked cabinet so nobody can tamper with your equipment, cut a wire, unplug something to be funny. I'd put it in a lockbox and have that thing locked and secured and try to make sure it's in a room with some kind of air conditioning. The last picture I'm showing you here is this particular picture is a fiber run. This is a 6-strand, so there's actually 3 channels in there because each channel needs 2 strands of fiber optics to work, and that's a 6-strand. We have those running out to all of our cupboards and our closets is how we do those. Well, folks, I hope you've enjoyed this little visual tour. I said not many people are doing this with their podcasts. So if you're listening to us on iTunes, remember, stop by the website, tipsfromtheserverroom.com, and you can see the actual pictures I'm talking about in this podcast. Have a look at those. And if you enjoyed the little visual tour, please give me a comment on the website. Underneath the audio file, you can click the comment, and I do have comments open on the website because it is a WordPress site, and it's very, very easy to comment on this. So hopefully you enjoyed this podcast this week, and I do enjoy bringing you tips from the server room, from our server room, or from our network to yours. Hopefully it helps you out there, gives you some ideas, if nothing else, and keeps you moving and moving on. I'll be bringing more because as summer fastly or quickly approaches here, we have a ton of work that we are anticipating, and I'll be bringing you a ton more shows with some great, great topics, and we'll be talking about all that stuff here coming up very soon on Tips from the Server Room. So until next time, take care, enjoy the work week, and enjoy the upcoming weekend. I'll see you back here. I'm your host, Jack. Goodbye, good night, and so long. You just listened to Tips from the Server Room with your host, Jack. If you have any questions, please drop me a comment at tipsfromtheserverroom.com. Thanks again for tuning in and downloading the shows. Now sit back, relax, and listen to the remainder of the music. We'll see you next week on Tips from the Server Room. So long.